You can see it on bumper stickers or on car windows. It's the motto of the United States Marine Corps. Semper Fidelis, or Semper Fi for short. Two Latin words which translated mean always faithful. It is the aspiration of these gallant soldiers to live up to that maxim of Semper Fidelis. But what organization or group of individuals or what man or what woman is always faithful? I stand here this morning and I'll tell you honestly, I have broken promises. I have said things in my life that are not truthful. I have let people down who were depending upon me. I try not to do any of these things, but I've done them. I have sinned against the God that I love and the God that I serve. I've tried to be faithful in all areas of my life, but the truth is, I have not always been faithful. Now, we're about to begin a study in the book of Titus. In your classes this morning, you're going to get the background to this study that we're commencing. And the book of Titus is really a call to preach what we practice, or practice what we preach. It's a call to faithfulness to everyone who would call themselves by that great and lofty name, Christian. In the opening paragraph here in Titus chapter 1, in this short letter, this letter from the Apostle Paul to a young Christian missionary by the name of Titus, Paul describes the Christian religion in these words. Look in verse 2. Of faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised from the beginning of time. That's a pretty good description of the Christian faith, the Christian religion. It all rests upon promises of a God who does not lie, a God who is faithful. Back in 1994, there was a 67-year-old carpenter. His name was Russell Herman, and he lived in Marion, Illinois, had cancer, and he died, and he left behind a will. And among the recipients of the monies that he left behind were these. He left behind $2.41 billion to a tiny little town in Ohio called Cave in Rock, Ohio. He left behind an additional $2.41 billion to the city of East St. Louis. He left $1.5 billion for various projects to be done in the public works of southeastern Illinois. And then, in an act of unprecedented generosity, he bequeathed $6 trillion to the Federal Reserve Board to settle what was then our nation's national debt. Now, there was only one problem. At the time of his death, Mr. Herman actually owned only a 1983 Olds Toronado. Now, God has been far more extravagant in His promises than Russell Herman was in his will. God has promised forgiveness to all who will come to Him. He has promised every spiritual blessing to those who are in Christ Jesus. And He has promised eternal life to all who are faithful. Now, the difference between God and Russell Herman is that God can deliver. And God will deliver on all of those extravagant promises that He's made. The Old Testament prophet Balaam said that God and man differ in one fundamental area, and that one fundamental area is faithfulness. Listen to the words of Balaam recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, in verse 19. There Balaam said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And the obvious answer is no. God does promise and fulfill. God does honor His word. God does keep every promise that He's made. I just wonder if we could all catalog over the course of our life how many promises that you and I have made and left unfulfilled. I'd be ashamed to review that list. I'll be at your ball game next week. I promise I will. Or I'll rearrange my schedule so I don't have so many late nights. I promise. I'll be sure and remember to call first next time. Or I'll exercise. Or I'll lose weight. Or I'll clean out the garage. Or I won't be so grumpy. Or I'll preach shorter sermons. Promises, promises. Do you know how many promises God has made? Dr. Reginald Dunlap, in his book, has figured that there are in excess of 30,000 promises of God recorded in the Bible. Back over in the book of Joshua, and if you flip back over there, it's back over at the beginning. That's probably at about the 3,000 promise level in the Bible, if the book totals 30,000 promises. And so back over there around the 3,000 promise level, Joshua made this statement about the faithfulness of God. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. He made many promises to Israel, but He's made even more to us. And in God's early track record of dealing with His people, Joshua could confidently say, and no one there could deny the truth of it, that every single promise that God had made had been honored fully to His people. Bobby and I have tried to figure out, we work together at weddings here at Sunset, and he's the wedding planner and I do the service, and he's behind the scenes and doing the sound. And we've tried to figure out how many weddings we've done together, and I tell you, we've got some stories that we can tell you about weddings that have gone on here at Sunset. Frequently, as a part of these weddings, and I've married many of you, frequently as a part of these weddings, I will read that beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? The description of love, where Paul there says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. And I challenge couples to live up to that kind of commitment, to demonstrate that kind of love in their marriage, and they make vows and they promise to do that. Well, I did the same thing. Many of you did too. And I wanted to be that kind of husband, but have I ever been rude? Have I ever been impatient? Have I ever been easily angered? Well, just ask Vicki, and she'll tell you the truth. You know, we don't always live up to our ideals, even when that's our deep heart's desire. But God does. God always lives up to His promises. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 7, down in verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Not a faithful God. He is the faithful God. He is the only faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God loves us, and God has entered into covenant relationship with us in every one of those loving sentiments that God has said to his people. He's honored. God has never, ever been rude. God has never once been impatient with any of us. God has never been easily angered with any one of you. He loves and he loves and he loves. We sing that beautiful song, Faithful Love, flowing down from the thorn-covered crown. God is so patient and so forgiving and so loving, and that's been my track record with God, isn't it yours? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." God is not only the faithful God, he wants us to know it so desperately that on at least 3 occasions, God has voluntarily sworn. God has voluntarily taken a sacred oath to his own faithfulness to let us know clearly how confident we can be that he's telling the truth and how confident we can be to rest upon him as the God who will honor everything he said he would do. He has sworn by himself on at least 3 occasions. It's as if he came down out of heaven and entered our level and went into one of our courtrooms and raised his right hand and made that oath, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me, me." There's none higher than God can swear by. He's sworn by himself, by his own name, that he will always, always be faithful. But do you know when God's faithfulness shines the brightest? It shines the brightest in our darkest hours. Talk to Joe and Latina Brumfield this morning as they're sitting by Nick's side there in recovery. Ask someone here in this church family who in last weeks have buried a loved one. Ask some of those that you know who've lost jobs, who are facing health crises. Jeremiah in the Old Testament lived at an unfortunate time in history. His job was to warn the citizens of Jerusalem about the impending fall of that city. He would live to see the Babylonians come in and destroy the city of Jerusalem, raise the temple, take away the best and the brightest of the young people. He would see the smoldering ruins of the city of Jerusalem. And it's no wonder he's called the weeping prophet. The Babylonians did come and they broke down the gates and they burned the city and they slaughtered the innocent. And they left behind them the smoldering ruins of what once was that proud and noble city. Next Sunday, our nation will be pausing to remember those images that are forever burned into our minds, the smoldering ruins of the Twin Towers. The Pentagon and that crater in the field of Pennsylvania left by Flight 93. And these past 10 years have been difficult years for us as a nation. And some have asked, where is God? Have we been abandoned? Has God turned his back upon this nation? And Jeremiah must have felt the same way as he looked out over the smoke rising over the ruins of Jerusalem. He wrote the words in that sad book, Lamentations, speaking of Jerusalem. Her gates have sunk to the ground. Their bars are broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. My eyes fail from weeping. But then he goes on, and a few verses later, he writes what are perhaps some of the most encouraging words anywhere in the Bible. There in Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 20, he says, I well remember them, talking about all that tragedy. And my soul is downcast within me, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. And this is what gave him hope, and this is what can give us hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And we sing the words of that great hymn. Great is your faithfulness. What are we to do when our world caves in? What are we to do when the economy is in shambles? What are we to do when the storms seem to be unending and there are earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis? Well, I know that next Sunday is going to be a sad day. Our nation will have seen all the specials, the memorials that will be on television about 9/11. We will have seen the reruns again and again of those planes striking the towers. We will have heard people relating the stories of where they were and what happened. But in the midst of that remembering, we're going to do what Jeremiah did. We will remember God's great love and remember that every day His faithfulness is fresh again. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And next Sunday, even though it's a day of remembrance as a nation, we are going to have a great proclaimer standing in this pulpit, Harold Redd, and he is going to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be lifted up, and we're going to look to God who is faithful, who honors His promises, who will see this nation, who will see every one of us through the difficult days that we're facing. And we're going to witness next Sunday a new beginning, a fresh start. And what better after tragedy than to see new life again? And we'll see the beginnings of a new congregation in Willard. We serve a God of certainty, a God of faithfulness, a God who cannot lie. Semper fidelis, always faithful. You know, I can rest my weight upon a foundation like that. I can serve a God that I can trust implicitly, and God wants us to know that He is that kind of God. This morning, whatever burdens you, if you need to have your sins washed away, He's able to do that. If you need burdens lifted in prayer, He's able to do that. If you need comfort and strength, God is able to provide that. God is able, and He has promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We serve a faithful God. He's ready to demonstrate that faithfulness in your life today if you need Him. If you need to make that known publicly, we invite you to come right now as we stand and as we sing.